Word of God tonight to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Text for the sermon tonight is verse 14 of this chapter. This is God's word in Hebrews 4. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had not given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us there labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So far we read the holy and inspired word of God. Let's read together again verse 14 of Hebrews 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we gather together tonight for our Ascension Day worship service, we're faced with a very important question. And the question is, what does the ascension of Jesus into heaven some 2,000 years ago say about your life and my life as we sit here this evening in 2017? In other words, how does this affect us in a very practical, tangible way? As Christians today, the fact that Jesus ascended into heaven. The answer to that question is many things. But I ask that question in light of the text that's before us tonight. Because what the text that's before us tonight does is draw together in the closest possible relationship the fact of Jesus' ascension some 2,000 years ago and what that means for us. And as we live our lives today, it does that very clearly. Seeing that Jesus, the Son of God, passed into the heavens, this now is what this means for us today. Let us hold fast to our profession. There are many different answers to that question of how the ascension affects us very practically. This text draws our attention to one of those answers. In light of Jesus' ascension into heaven, the word of God that comes to us tonight is that we are to hold fast to our profession. We need to do three things in the sermon tonight. The first is consider what is that main word, hold fast to our profession. The second is to understand the first part of the text, which is a brief explanation of the ascension of Jesus into heaven. And then the third thing that we need to do is see the relationship between those two. How does the former affect the latter, or is affected by the latter? What is the relationship between our holding fast to our profession and the fact that Jesus Christ passed into the heavens? So let's start with the main word of the text, which is that we are to hold fast to our profession. You and I as believers have and make a profession. The word profession in the text can be looked at from a couple of different perspectives. Two related perspectives. Two necessarily related perspectives. On the one hand, the word profession in the text can be looked at from the point of view of the subjective activity of the believer to speak. When we use that word profession, it sometimes refers to the child of God's actual activity of saying something. We did that tonight, as we do every Sunday evening in church. We make a profession. We do so together as a congregation, and we do so as individuals. We speak, and we refer to that as a profession. But that leads us to the second aspect of the idea of a profession, and this is necessarily related, and that is the fact that when we speak, when we make a profession, there is a certain content to that profession. And that's looking at the word from an objective point of view, what it is that we are actually saying. The word profession in the text refers to both of those aspects because they go hand in hand. You cannot have the one without having the other. That leads us to consider what is the content of the profession that is referred to in the text. And the answer to that question is very simply this. In a nutshell, it is Jesus Christ. Let us hold fast to our profession of Jesus Christ. The profession of Christ is what stands at the heart and the center of the child of God's confession of faith. We know that from the context of the Scriptures as a whole and from the context of the book of Hebrews. There's a couple of different passages in the book of Hebrews that refers to this profession and to holding fast to this profession. The first is Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. He is the content of the profession that we make as believers. And the profession referred to in the text, therefore, is a profession of Jesus Christ, believing and trusting in that Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it is true that if you were to dig deeply into that verse in Hebrews 10 that uses the word faith, that in the original Greek, that word is really hope. Let us hold fast to the profession of our hope. But that still establishes this main point, that this is a profession of faith. Christ is our hope. He is the basis of the future expectation of a good for us. And we have that hope exactly because of the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hope and faith necessarily go hand in hand. We have that faith or that hope because we believe a certain thing concerning Jesus Christ. The profession of our text is not just taking upon our lips words concerning Jesus, but it is truly, in the deepest sense of the word, a confession of what we believe by faith. And it's not just taking upon our lips any word about Jesus Christ. It must be the Jesus Christ as He is revealed in the Scriptures, and not the Jesus Christ that we may contrive of in our mind. We don't determine who the Christ is that we take on our lips and believe in. The Scriptures teach us who this Jesus is. And for it to be a true profession, the Jesus whom we take on our lips must be the Jesus of the Bible. And the salvation that we look to in this Lord Jesus Christ must be the salvation as it is revealed in the sacred Scriptures. We can say something about what our profession of Jesus is based on some other foundational passages in this respect. Our profession of Jesus is that He is the Son of God. A passage that speaks of that explicitly is 1 John 4, verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Your confession and mine of the Lord Jesus Christ is that the Jesus I believe in is not a Son of God, but he is the Son of God. And not just the Son of God, but we need to add to that, based on other passages of Scripture, he is the only begotten Son of God. And it's noteworthy that in our text, the way that Christ is identified is as Jesus, the Son of God. We believe in Jesus, that the man, Jesus Christ, who walked the face of this earth and came forth from the womb of the Virgin Mary, was no ordinary man, although he was truly and fully man. But that man, Jesus Christ, is the only begotten Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, come into the flesh. A true profession of Jesus confesses Him to be the only begotten Son of God. A true profession of Jesus Christ is that He is also Lord. A passage that speaks of that explicitly is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. You profess faith in Jesus Christ, which means that the Spirit is in you and you confess that the One who is in heaven right now is Lord. He is the owner of all things as the One who in the beginning brought all things forth. He is the ruler as Lord over all things. He is the authority in absolutely everything. Your profession of Christ is that He is Lord. But it's not just what or who He is. Our profession of Jesus Christ is also what He has done. And an example of a passage that draws out what we confess in that respect is Romans chapter 10, verse 10. Rather, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And what a passage like this draws out is that when we take on our lips the Lord Jesus Christ, it must be a personal confession of faith. We don't in the abstract confess Jesus. We don't in the hypothetical confess Jesus. When we profess Jesus Christ, we do so personally. Yes, He is the Son of God and the only begotten Son of God, but that only begotten Son of God is my Savior. He is my Lord. And when I confess that only begotten Son of God, who is Lord, died on a cross and was buried in a grave and arose from the dead and ascended into heaven. He died for me. He was buried for me. He arose for me. And He ascended into heaven for me. The profession of the text, the profession of every child of God must be that this Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior, my Deliverer, my Lord, and my King. That stands at the heart and center of the profession of which the text speaks. Jesus Christ, who He is, what He has done for me personally. But we can certainly broaden the profession of the text, because the reality is that the Scriptures in their entirety reveal to us Jesus Christ. What I explained a moment ago is simply the heart and the center of it. But we know that the entire Bible, all 66 books of that Bible, reveal to us the person and to the work of Jesus Christ. And so our profession that we make is that Jesus Christ, who is revealed in the Scriptures, is the one who is my Lord and Savior, and that everything that the Bible teaches about Him and about our salvation in Him is what I believe to be truth. Particularly with the book of Hebrews, the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God who came forth from Mary's womb, is the fulfillment of the entirety of the Old Testament Scriptures. So our profession is a profession of the truth of the entire Word of God, which means that included in our profession is the summaries of the Word of God. Included in our profession is the summary that we make of our faith every Sunday night in the Apostles' Creed, and as we did that tonight. Our profession is what we believe the truth to be as it is summarized in the three forms of unity as those who are in a Reformed church. And our profession, yes, is what we believe to be the truth of Jesus Christ and salvation in Him as God has led us to confess and to develop that truth as Protestant Reformed believers. Christ is at the heart and center of it, but all of the truth revolving around Jesus Christ taught in the Scriptures is the profession that we make. The text says that we are to hold fast to that profession. That word hold fast in the text is a word the core meaning of which is strength. And the idea is that we are to hold firmly, to guard carefully the confession that we make of Jesus Christ. We can understand what that idea is from a physical point of view. If you were to say to me, hold fast your Bible, what I would do is I would take it in my hands, both of them, I would grip it as tightly as possible, and if you were to try to take this from me, I'd do everything in my power so that you cannot get a hold of the Bible that I'm holding fast to. God says to us in His Word, do that. Now, not with a physical object, do that with the profession that you make of Jesus Christ. The implication of that is that there are powers at work to take that profession from us, or to undermine the profession of Jesus that we make, or to lead us to make a profession of something else. If that were not the case, we would not need to hear from God tonight the word, hold fast to your profession of the Lord Jesus Christ. That implies that there are powers at work in the world that are seeking to destroy us spiritually by leading us to undermine or deny or compromise the profession that we make of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we certainly know But there are powers that work to do that in our lives and in the church. The devil, beloved, works furiously in your life and in mine and in the church to undermine the profession that we make of Jesus Christ and the truth as God has revealed it to us. The saints to whom this book of Hebrews was written needed to hear that. They would have been tempted by the Judaizers of the day to revert to a form of works righteousness which would have denied the Lord Jesus Christ and undermined the confession of who He is and what He had done. They would have been tempted to revert to the Old Testament forms and types and shadows which, if they were to have done that, would have undermined and denied the person and the work of Jesus. And we are tempted too to compromise or to deny the profession that we make of Christ. And so we need to hear the word, hold fast to our profession. The devil uses many tactics to accomplish that end. I alluded to one a moment ago, referring to the saints to whom this was written. The devil certainly uses the tactic of false doctrine to lead us not to hold fast to our profession. Because understand, if that we're not professing Jesus Christ as He is revealed in the truth and salvation as it is revealed in the Scriptures, we are no longer making a true profession of Jesus Christ. A true profession of Jesus is a profession of the pure, unadulterated doctrine of who Christ is and salvation through His work alone. And so the devil works by means of false doctrine to lead the believer and to lead the church to walk away from the profession of Jesus Christ, to apostatize in their generations. We need to hear that tonight because no church and no denomination is immune to the attacks of the devil on account of false doctrine. To think that a church or a denomination is immune or above the possibility of false doctrine is the devil accomplishing the very first step that is necessary to infiltrate a church with false doctrine. We must not in pride believe that it is above the realm of possibility. No church at any point throughout history is not susceptible to this reality. The fact is, for true churches of Jesus Christ, the devil works all the harder in order to bring into the church any form of false doctrine, often in very subtle ways. And so in humility, we understand that fact. And in humility, we hear the Word of God tonight. And in humility, we say, God, preserve us. And preserve us in the way of us taking to heart the words of the text, holding fast to our profession of Jesus Christ, holding fast to the pure, unadulterated doctrines of who Christ is and the salvation that is by Him alone, through grace and by faith in His name. He uses false doctrine. He also uses many other things, one of which is striving to make the believer have a dead confession of Jesus. And what I mean by that is that he tempts us so that we may say the right things. We may take on our lips Jesus Christ. We may say, as we do Sunday nights, the words of the Apostles' Creed, but all it is words spewing out of a mouth. Not words coming out of a mouth that are arising from a heart, and words coming out of our mouths that affect every sphere of our lives. That's a dead confession. Just words. Not from the heart and not inevitably leading to a life of obedience and thanks before our God. The devil is always tempting the church along these lines. Holding fast to our confession, as it is taught in the text, is living the confession, speaking the confession from the depths of our hearts in such a way that this profession means everything to us because we understand what it is and it arises out of a true faith in Jesus Christ. The devil uses many things to lead the church to make dead confessions. Worldliness is an example. Why does he tempt us so with the allurements of this world? Because the more that we're consumed with the things of this world, the activities of this life, our life here below, the farther we are away from God, and the path that we are on is not a good one when we are consumed with the things of this world. It leads us away from God, and in generations being cut off from God. Worldliness is a strong temptation that we face that undermines the confession that we make of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also undermines our witness. Our witness means nothing when we say we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and then people look at our lives and we're no different than the world around us. Worldliness is an attack upon the profession that we make of Christ. Pride, blindness to sin leads to an empty confession. We could say we believe in Jesus, but when we don't really understand our sin for what it is, we're not understanding the confession that we're making. It's not a living confession if we're not truly reckoning and knowing our sin and the seriousness of it leading us to repentance every single day and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I could go on. Many things he uses to undermine this confession. And so we hear the text, hold fast to this confession. Hold fast by maintaining the truth. Hold fast by having it as a living, real, vibrant, life-altering in every sphere confession of the Lord Jesus Christ, understanding our need on account of our sin. That truth to hold fast to our profession is related to what brings us here together tonight, the ascension of Jesus into heaven. That's obvious from the text. The text is clearly talking about the ascension. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Clearly, when we read that, it's referring to the historical event that's referred to in Acts chapter 1, why we are here tonight. Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. The ascension is one of the outstanding events in Jesus' life, an event through which he works our salvation. The one-time events in Christ's life that accomplish our salvation, like his incarnation and his death and his resurrection and what will follow with the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. The ascension is easily understood, although very profound when you meditate upon it. The ascension, very simply, is that after Jesus was on this earth for 30-some years, after he died on the cross and was in the grave for the portion of 3 days, after he arose from that dead, after he for 40 days appeared to prove that he had arisen from the dead, he was with his disciples on Mount Olivet. And in the presence of his disciples, he was lifted up into the sky and received by the cloud, and through that he entered into the realm of heaven. Our text gives an interesting insight into that ascension. The text, as we read it in our King James Version of the Bible, says that he passed into the heavens. That's not the most literal translation of that verb, passed into. It's really passed through the heavens. Either way, the same point is made, that he ascended into heaven. But the literal idea is that in the sight of his disciples, he passed through the heavens that we observe with our physical eyes. He ascended up and through these heavens that we see with our eyes, he passed into what we also refer to the heaven, that is the spiritual realm, which is the dwelling place of God and the saints who have died and entered into glory. He left this physical realm in the heavens that we see, and he passed through them into the realm of glory and the spiritual realm of heaven. That fact of Jesus passing into the realm of heaven has everything to say about what I explained at the beginning of the sermon and the main point of the text, that we are to hold fast to our profession. And it has everything to say because of the fact that the text says that it was the one who was the great high priest who passed into the heavens. Notice that in the text. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us do this. In that one word, great, you have summarized in a certain sense the entirety of the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews has as its purpose to demonstrate that Jesus is the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament types and shadows, and as the fulfillment is the greater, the better than what God gave in the Old Testament. What the book of Hebrews does is demonstrate the excellency of Jesus Christ. God gave the types in the Old Testament. They were good. They served a purpose. But then the reality, the fulfillment, Christ came, and He is the greater. And what Hebrews does is put those side by side to demonstrate the exalted nature and the excellency of Jesus. Consider just a few of those points as we think about our text. Consider the excellency of Jesus regarding who He is. Aaron, Eleazar, Eli, Phinehas, Abimelech were men and sinners. Jesus, as He is identified in the text, is the Son of God and sinless. Consider the excellency of Jesus Christ regarding what He did. Those men who I just listed were high priests, but all they could do was direct the eyes of the people to the blood that needed to be shed for their sins. All they could do was offer those same sacrifices for their own sins as sinners. Jesus, who is the great high priest, didn't bring an offering. Jesus brought Himself and shed His own blood, not for His own sins. He was not a sinner, but for the sins of His people. All those high priests could do in the Old Testament was direct their people's eyes to believe in Jesus Christ and to trust in Him for salvation. They could not, in the end, efficaciously bring the people to God. Jesus, who is the reality, did. He didn't just lay down His life to make it possible for any men in this world to obtain salvation, but by what He did in laying down His life as the perfect sacrifice for sin, He efficaciously and powerfully draws to Himself His elect church. Consider the excellency of Jesus from the point of view of where He went. Those high priests in the Old Testament once a year entered into the most holy place. They communed with God there. They truly did. But this Jesus, the great high priest, entered into the true realm of heaven, the dwelling place of God. If you continue to read the book of Hebrews, the greatness and the excellency of Jesus as high priest is made very clear. Hebrews chapter 9, for example, maybe read that tonight in light of the sermon right now. Christ, the great high priest, entered into heaven. Hold fast to your profession. And one of the ideas here is this. Why do we hold fast to our profession? Because the work is accomplished. It's sure. It's true. It's real. Everything for our salvation has been accomplished by the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Hold fast to that profession. If as Christians tonight we had to wonder, are these things true? I know I'm a sinner. I experience that every day. And there's a Jesus in whom there is supposedly salvation. If that's our attitude, if we had to doubt whether or not Christ did this work, we would not be able to say, now I'm going to hold fast to this profession. You would wonder. It's when you know that it's true, absolutely true, certain, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that we hear this word, hold it fast. You're going to experience all kinds of temptations to rip it away, but know this, we have a high priest who has entered into heaven, and he's the great high priest. And if he entered into heaven as the great high priest, what that means is that he was on a cross, and he died for our sins, and he was in a grave, but he arose from that dead, and his life is in our hearts. It's been done. It's sure. He's there right now, reigning over all and interceding on our behalf. In the face of all of the enemies that seek to take it away, to undermine it, to lead us away from Christ, we hear the word tonight. Hold fast to our profession, because we have a high priest who has entered into the realm of glory. He has finished the work of delivering us and saving us from our sins. And not only that, seeing that He is there, we look to Him as we hold fast to this profession. We hear the Word of God tonight and we don't say, now what do we need to do ourselves to hold fast to our profession? No, we consider the main truth that brings us together. We consider the verses that follow that say, He's there. With confidence, with boldness, we go to Him each and every day. That's the word to us tonight. Hold fast. Because the work is finished, hold fast. Looking to Him day by day for all things, for the forgiveness of our sins, for strength, for guidance, for hope. As that is all revealed in His Word to us in the sacred Scriptures. For that living Christ speaks to us His living Word in the preaching and in the Scriptures. We worship Him, therefore, and we hear what this truth means for us today. Hold fast to our profession of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy Word, and we pray, bless it as it was brought tonight. And we pray, Father, that Thy name might have been glorified in the expounding of the sacred Scriptures that reveal to us Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, and ascended. In His name do we pray. Amen.